Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Drake May takes the snap, takes a knee, and that will do it. The final 30 seconds will wind off the clock as the New England Patriots will knock off the New York Giants by a final score of 33-15. And with the win, the Patriots have now won 10 consecutive games.
Thank you to Westwood One. That's what we're used to the Chiefs doing, quite frankly. Yeah. Rattling off 10 in a row, these big-time winning streaks. And now it's the Patriots' turn. Now, the big question, Pearl, and good morning, is are the Patriots actually a Super Bowl contender, or are they feasting off of what is one of the weakest schedules we've seen?
Oh, my God. I am having the hardest time with this. Did we put a poll up? Because I feel like most people in NFL Nation would say it's the schedule, it's not the team. Because it takes a long time to get used to a team being good. Yes, they looked dominant last night. There's no doubt about it. All three phases were ridiculous. Drake May is incredible. Do you trust him come playoff time? I think that's a huge TBD to me.
Yeah, well, right now we do have a poll up on X. Do you consider the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender? 63% of you are saying yes. You can go there and vote. See, I think this is the difference maker, right? It's one thing to have a great record and the whole you are what your record says you are. Well, that's not really true all the time. It's a fun soundbite, but it's not actually true. Sometimes you can have a great record, Pearl, and you kind of look under the hood a little bit and it's like, oh man, how's the team doing this? A little smoke and mirrors, a little bit bad schedule. Do they actually have the bones of what makes a really good team and a potential playoff team? I think you look under the hood with the Patriots and I think you do find a team that actually has the good bones. Now, like, yes, the schedule's been super easy, but the quarterback is legit. I mean,
the quarterback's good.
75% of his passes that he's completing, and it's not like he has murderer's row of wide receiver weapons.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Is he? Are these receivers good enough to make these kind of catches in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I think Stephon Diggs has shown you that he is good enough to make good big postseason catches outside of how it ended in Buffalo. He is maybe one of the most famous postseason catches of all time in the Minnesota Miracle. I think that they have shown you when they are healthy, they can block for Drake May, and I think they can run the ball, and they've shown you that they can stop the run, because if you want to say that their best game was against the Buffalo Bills, well, one of the reasons they won that game is because they held the Bills to like 80 yards rushing. So I think that you peek under the hood. They don't seem undisciplined. Yep. It doesn't seem like they're a big penalty team, maybe a couple games here and there, but they're not stupid. The special teams is good, and their head coach is experienced.
Well, I mean, how can you get, I mean, what do you have to do to get a penalty against teams like the Jets and the Giants, though? I mean,
well, last night there were a couple massive hits in this game that probably could have, were right on the borderline, especially the hit on Jackson Dart.
That was not borderline. Both feet were clearly in bounds.
Well, clearly.
They definitely were. There's no way that NFL would have let that be a penalty. Okay. They're pretty consistent on that one.
Well, I don't know.
Hitting a guy in.
Who played the cheese pearl off.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
Patrick
Mahomes though gets his feet out of bounds. That guy's feet were so clearly in bounds.
Okay, but hold on. We're getting caught up on the wrong thing here. I'm just saying that that's a half a second from being a late hit out of bounds and a major penalty. But it wasn't, because they are actually our smart football team. Same thing, Christian Ellis, the same guy who had this big hit on Gunnar Olszewski on a big return, knocked Olszewski out of the game. I'm just saying they play with, they're ferocious. They don't seem stupid. Mm. And I think when you look under the hood, just don't look at the gaudy record and say, oh, you beat the Saints, you beat the Browns, you beat the Falcons, da-da-da. I think that you got to look at what does this team actually bring to the table. It's a lot of good stuff.
So, and it's, when you say all that, like, what's your ceiling for them?
I think it's got to be Super Bowl now. Because okay. This happens sometimes where a second-year quarterback can make a run, right? Or a guy second, maybe third year. Like, Patrick Mahomes went to the AFC Championship game his second year.
You could get them 10-1, 10-1. They're 6-0 odds, kind of right at the same spot as the Broncos or the Colts, and the Colts ain't happening.
Are the Broncos happening again? This AFC, yeah, I mean, the Broncos are Patriots.
They're a Spider-Man meme team to be like. That's pretty much the same thing. What either of those teams is going to be in the final 3 minutes of a close AFC playoff game? I mean, your Bills are have higher odds. I think that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and maybe, and I know this is a segue, Patrick Mahomes would cause problems for the Patriots because they're not going to be used to it. They're used to seeing Tyrod Taylor and Jackson Dart and Bryce Young and Tyler Shuck. They're going to be like, wait, what are these quarterbacks?
Well, they did face Josh Allen at one. So.
But they didn't see a playoff Josh Allen who was just going to put his body out. He's just going to take every hit possible to win that game.
Yeah, fair. I guess the other part is if we redrafted that 2024 draft, what is the Caleb Williams draft, 2024? I think that you would now maybe no doubt take Drake May. So if you want to say that the Broncos and the Patriots are kind of Spider-Man meme, I don't know if that's necessarily true because Drake May is obviously better than Bo Nix. And if you could redraft that draft, you would 100% take Drake May before you take Bo Nix.
Yeah, I don't know. So you're saying, I think the Broncos and Patriots are very, very close. You don't think the Broncos with that defense have a dangerous weapon?
Well, the Broncos have a better defense, but the Patriots have the better quarterback, so.
I mean, the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs, they've beaten the Texans, they've beaten the Eagles, they've beaten, they lost Indianapolis early in the season, but they've shown they can compete with good teams. New England's going to be a little unbattle-tested, which is actually probably a thing. Luckily, they have one game against Buffalo, and I think do they have Houston on their side? They have one more good team. But they're going to come in a little bit, like, they're not going to be used to this. That is, I'm not, you're right, Joe Burrow did make it in his second year, but they are really going to have a huge, huge step up in weight class in the playoffs.
888-710-4ISN. You can weigh in on the Patriots if you think they're a true contender. Meanwhile, Andy Reid got a little prickly, quite frankly, with the media yesterday when he was asked about his team's possibility of missing the playoffs. Now, they've been talk about a heater. Chiefs have been on a playoff run since 2015, Pearl. And it's, you know, they've obviously dominated the division. Last year had a 15-win season, 5 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl titles, 5 appearances, 3 titles. And yesterday, he vowed that the Chiefs are not going to go down without a fight.
I'm telling you, we're going to go after you every game. And, you know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play, every game. Huh? And but that's the attitude that we're coming in with. And then you let the chips fall where they may.
Ooh, look out. Tickle your tonsils. That sounds like it would make you laugh. I've never heard that expression before, Pearl. I don't know if that got across what he thought. And by the way, it actually doesn't really matter what Andy Reid says. It matters how this team looks. And this team is not the same. And I think for a couple reasons. Number one, the penalties. The penalties are egregious at this point. Did you know that both of the tackles, the right tackle and the left tackle, are responsible for 22 penalties this year? And you saw it against the Cowboys when the teams are trading haymakers in the fourth quarter and trading touchdowns. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Chiefs get a bad penalty on a holding call. I think it was actually a guard that time. But they get a bad penalty on a holding call. They're forced to go 3-and-out. And then Dallas goes down and kicks the field goal on the next possession. And now you're in a 10-point hole. Like, they just can't keep pace, it seems like, almost at big times because the penalties are such a killer on offense.
Haven't they always had those? Remember the year Juwan Taylor started about 7,000 times in a row? I think he's leading the league in penalties again.
He's still doing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, but they won the Super Bowl in those years. And then they had both tackles were lining up about 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage to start the season. They've been false starting like crazy, and they've won before. I don't know if you can point to a fundamental reason. You know, they've always lost all these one-score games that they won last year.
Yeah.
I've been back and forth. I'm not counting them out because they're awesome at home and they're terrible on the road. They're 5-1 at home and they're 1-5 on the road. Look at their two road games that are left. Tennessee and Las Vegas. They're not going to lose at Tennessee, and they're not going to lose at Las Vegas. So that means all they have to do is win their three home games, and boom, they're 11-6, and they're in the playoffs.
No. Even if
tickle your tongue,
I think they'll make it 11-6.
Even if they win out, they still need help because the Bills beat the Steelers, and it's all about conference wins now as one of the tiebreakers, and they've been dreadful against the conference.
I think 11. I'm going to hope they can get in at 11. I know Reed commented on that too, but I'm not sure exactly what has to happen, but there's definitely a lot of teams have losses on their future playoff schedule. You know who might fall apart? The Colts with these injuries. They might fall out. The Jags could easily fall out. Who knows? The Chargers definitely could fall out because they're all beat up. They have a really, really hard schedule coming up.
Are you convinced that the Chiefs are going to beat the Texans on Sunday night?
Yes, at home I am. If they can't, I think that's the thing. I think they're really good at home. I think they'll find a way to win. I mean, they should have lost to the Colts at home, actually. But I do think that I wasn't wildly impressed with the Texans against the Colts on Sunday. I thought the offense still looked non-creative and kind of stale. Yeah, their defense is good, but we've seen Patrick Mahomes go against in playoff-type situations, which is now. He's done very well against good defenses.
You were just out on the Chiefs 24 hours ago.
No, I'm definitely like I'm.
What changed?
No, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think that they definitely have a chance to make the playoffs. Like we all know that, right? I mean, the key game will be these two games, Houston and the Chargers, and they have a great chance.
Yeah, I think that the Houston defense is so good right now that. I think they are absolutely live in this game. And Houston has given the Chiefs some scares in Arrowhead before. Like, they play tight games with them. So here's my question now for the Chiefs. I think now we're all getting a little bit more comfortable with the idea that, hey, listen, they might not make the playoffs this year. It just may have all caught up to them. No one's played more postseason games than them. It's not that they have any injuries necessarily, except for, I guess, Isaiah Pacheco. They didn't want to go all in to get Breece Hall at the trade deadline.
Oof.
It would have been a third round pick. They did not want to do that. And so maybe this year is just not the year. So what's going to change for next year? Because obviously you're going to have to shake things up. Kelce may retire to go off into the sunset with Taylor, and they can go have a million babies and make a million movies or albums or whatever he's going to do. And then what else do you do? Andy Reid's not going to leave. Steve Spagnuolo, they're lucky to keep, no? Like, they're not going to get rid of Spags.
Well,
Matt Nagy, like, where are you making the changes here? Or do you just run it back and say, you know what, we're going to forget 2025. It was just an off year.
Why would you change anything? You have very good wide receiver. You built this wide receiver core out of nowhere, seemingly. And you have a very young offensive line. Now, obviously, they're putting a lot, they made big bets on the offensive line with especially Josh Simmons. If he turns out to be who they hope he is, then boom, they're back in business almost immediately.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if there's a moment when in every dynasty when you do have to shake things up a little bit, when things do start to get a little bit stale. And I thought that was maybe the Tyreek Hill shakeup. And they have made other like big, more than tweaks, like big, they have made some big moves. Tyreek Hill's probably the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, what has been the one Achilles heel for this franchise over the last 6 years? What's the one thing that has cost them? It's when their O-line gets hurt in the Super Bowl. That's like it's been their only consistent problem. Mahomes has always been great. Kelsey's always been great. Chris Jones has always been fantastic. Him getting older actually worries me a little bit. But if these young offensive linemen.
But they're not hurt right now.
Yeah, they're all hurt.
They're out there.
Not really. Like they're mixing up lineups all the time, you know, because they can't keep Simmons has not really been right the entire time. He came back. They definitely are beat up on the offensive line. If they could get that solidified, when you have Patrick Mahomes at a good offensive line, you're awesome. And I think they could do that in the offseason. I would draft a running back at some point. This is ridiculous. Kareem Hunt is 35 or what is Kareem Hunt? I know he's younger, but he feels like the way he runs, it's like, wait, this is your explosive running back who's getting it 30 times. I think the offense is fine. Chris Jones getting old is a concern, but he's still got enough juice that he's okay. I think they're the favorites coming into next year. I mean, who else would it be?
Well, I mean, now you're going off history, right? Because so here's the question, though. If they're so good this year and they have this great roster, then why are they barely a playoff team?
They haven't gotten their O-line right yet.
But you just said they've had a battle line and made the Super Bowl before.
No. I'm saying, but the battle line, like last year, their O-line kept getting hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt. And by the end, Joe Tooney was playing left tackle. They were, for the 15-2 record, they were mostly healthy. Now, I think that right now, they've had guys in and out. If they could get that solidified, then everything else works. The run game works. Mahomes has more time. And I think they're okay. And by the way, I am not picking them to win the Super Bowl anymore. I'm off that. But I think they're very dangerous to make the playoffs. If they could beat Houston, then they're what? 7-6. And who's beating them then? Like, who's the team that's going to knock them out? The Chargers? With that injured quarterback? No way.
Let's go to Brandon. He's in Chicago. Brandon, we're asking you today on X, are the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender? They have the best record in the NFL. What do you think?
What's going on, Maggie Perloff? Thanks for taking my call this morning.
You got it.
So the Patriots, they're for real. If you look at it, Vrabel, when he was coach of the Titans, he brought them to the playoffs almost every year, and he didn't really have much to work with there. Just basically Henry running the ball. Now he's got Drake May. This guy is throwing, over 70% completion rate. Third and 10-plus, he's 73%. On fourth down, he's 90%.
Yeah.
And they just have that Patriots way of, that formula where it's just like, competent defense, offense, and then they even got the special teams working. And I wanted to say, for the Giants as a possible head coach, Jim Bob Cooter, you always hear about Aikman talking about his offense and all these analysts talking about his offense. And, he helped Sirianni a lot. He was a consultant when they started getting their Eagles offense going, or even a Joe Lombardi over with Sean Payton. He's doing a pretty good job too.
I don't know, Brandon. That's not going to make the Giants fans that happy. Thank you for the phone call.
He's on a lot of lists.
Is he? He's where, with the Colts now?
Yeah, he's been there. He's on just a lot of lists. I mean, I know you guys feels like are not into hiring random offensive coordinators of the Brian Callahan ilk, but that's what the NFL does. They look at play callers and say, "Hey, what's going on here?" But the thing is, Shane Steichen probably calls all those plays.
It's just funny that you brought up Brian Callahan, a guy who did he make it through three seasons?
Well, I'm just saying, if you're an NFL owner, you're going to want an offensive coordinator in there, but you're investing so much in the quarterback that you want the whole team to sort of revolve around making him good. So, yeah, Jim Bob Cooter will probably get interviews for sure.
I wonder if he already would have interviewed with the Giants. I mean, think about how many coaching searches the Giants have done since Tom Coughlin was shown the door. I mean, they've had tons of coaches.
They've done everything, by the way. Offense, defense. Special teams, even.
Joe Judge. Bill Belichick's recommendation.
If you want to feel old, look at the list of potential coaching candidates and how old they are. You're like, Jim Bob Cooter, he's been around a while. He's 41. Declan Doyle is now getting he's 29, the Bears offensive coordinator, and he's going to be in the mix. There's at least 7 or 8 30-something-year-old offensive coordinators who have potential to get head coaching jobs.
That's fine, but how many actually...
Jim Bob Cooter is not somewhere chewing tobacco on
I don't think he's his name
in New York.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can't judge by that. But here's the thing though. You're talking about how these young coordinators, and they're getting younger. Are they succeeding?
Well,
Brian Callahan crashed and burned. He even had his dad with him, Bill Callahan, to hold his hand, and they couldn't make it.
Yeah, I mean,
these are not just because you get hired, Robert Saleh. Just because you get hired as a head coach doesn't mean you're going to be any good at it.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that these guys are definitely going to get jobs. I mean, Sean McVay won in his 30s. Mike Tomlin was, 35 when
he won. But you're cherry-picking two of the ones that have worked out maybe the best in NFL history. The graveyard is littered with coaches who couldn't handle it, who couldn't hack it, who got fired.
Well, I'd say it's a good idea or a bad idea. I think if there are 6 head coaching openings, we might get 4 or 5 who are in their 30s, which will be really incredible. Josh Quizzard's 35, the Bucs offensive coordinator. They're all so young. Guys, we know their names. Chris Shula, I think, is 38. It's kind of weird. There's definitely like a big class of assistants who are going to move up here and really fast.
You know what's funny? Sorry, go ahead.
I love how he was looking at me while he was listing all those players. Like, hey, Manny, this guy's available. Hey, this guy's available for your Giants team.
You're not excited about any of them.
No,
you
know,
can I bring up something that Lane Kiffin said yesterday in his hour-plus press conference at LSU?
An hour?
He was talking about how he had so many opportunities when he was young, Pearl, in his 30s. Obviously started with the Raiders and then went from there, Tennessee, USC, blah, blah, blah. And he talked about
other city.
The spectacular failures that he's had at other places, but how much he learned from that. And now at 50, he feels like he's finally figured it out.
He was the youngest coach ever at the time he got hired, right?
I'm just saying, like, there's an idea that coaches, like, think about Nick Saban got the LSU job. He was 48. Didn't go to Alabama until he was, like, 55. And we think of him as the greatest ever. You know, Belichick wasn't in his early 30s for the Browns, but not for the Patriots. Like, maybe it's not the best thing to get a guy who has no experience, especially with a situation that feels really tenuous with the Giants. I know they've been on this revolving door of coaches and stuff. You've got to get this thing stabilized, because there's quotes coming out of last night that Abdul Carter got benched for the first two series of this game, the first quarter, because he didn't know what time the meetings were, where they were. Like, guys, talk about crawl before you can walk. How do you expect to go in and win a game against anybody? This is why they've lost 13 consecutive games on the road, most likely. When guys don't even know when the meeting's taking place.
Well, I understand everything you're saying, but put yourself in an owner's shoes, and you look at what happened this year. You look at Ben Johnson, who is getting the most out of his number one overall pick quarterback, and you're going to say, I want that. That's what everyone's going to say. Ben Johnson was 38 when he got hired. I think all the 38-year-old OCs are going to be the hot thing.
Okay, but here's the thing. They're not all created equal. Like Ben Johnson, okay? Yeah. So that Detroit thing that happened, they all did that together, right? That was Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. And as the three of them and their GM, obviously, all together pulled Detroit out of the doldrums.
Right.
If you are an assistant for Sean McVay, he's already done it. Like, he's setting the standard, and you're someone who gets a piece of the pie, one piece of the puzzle on a train that's left the station years ago. Like, I think this is one of the reasons why the Belichick assistants always seem to fail when they got head coaching jobs. Bill didn't tell them everything he was doing. He didn't give them the recipe. He said, you do this little area that you're siphoned off on. And so, and again, the train was already out of the station with the winning. I don't think all these guys are created equal. I don't.
But do you think they won't get these jobs? Or?
Well, I think there's Rams assistants that are not doing so hot. Raheem Morris, Brandon Staley. We'll see what happens with Liam Cohen. Meanwhile, the Jags have had 7 head coaches since 2011.
I will bet there are at least 4 hires who are less than 40 years old. And I don't even think that's a record, because the year Brian Callahan got hired, there were a bunch of 30-something.
But will they be any good is what I'm asking you.
Well, Ben Johnson's pretty good. I mean, again, I know what you're saying. Again, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Clint Kubiak sure seems like he's set up for success. I watch the Seattle Seahawks run game, and oof, I'll take that in my team. I mean, honestly, I'm sorry, man. I don't think Clint Kubiak says yes to the Giants. I think he can do better.
This is wonderful.
Wow. 888-710-4ISN. That's not true.
Who's better than the Giants in terms of the jobs opening?
I just think that the Giants are a dysfunctional franchise. I think they're. I don't know who's going to open. I know what Atlanta, New Orleans.
Not New Orleans.
What?
Do you think that the Bengals open?
The Raiders is open, I guess.
Tennessee? Question mark.
Yeah,
Tennessee's
will
already open. Yeah.
I mean, I think the Bengals would turn your head because of Burrow.
Yeah, that's probably the only one though. I think that I would jump to.
Well, I think the Titans will be kind of a hot topic if you like Cam Ward.
Yeah, but it's the Titans though. Like,
the Giants.
The New York Giants are a historic franchise. I'm not trying to be Mr. New York at all, but I do think that it's the Titans are not an expansion, but they're essentially a newer franchise. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah, but the Giants have gone, obviously, bargain shopping for coaches most often, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like some of the Jackson Dart, if you look at Jackson Dart and Cam Ward, Jackson Dart's injury problem might scare you away.
Jackson Dart's played better, though. And I'm a Cam Ward guy. You guys know I'm a Cam Ward guy. But he's had a better season than Cam Ward this year.
Yeah, but is this going to last?
I don't think so.
He said last night, I'm not playing soccer. I'm going to go out there and get hits. Anyway. Yeah. But, I think that this is an offensive league. You got to get the most out of your quarterback. And that means hiring the next Sean McVay. Whether it works or not, Maggie, is irrelevant.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And of course, the irony, Sean McVay actually won a Super Bowl with a guy who he didn't develop at all. Matthew Stafford was a full-on veteran by the time he got there. Okay, lots more to do, including a little college football. We have some sound for you from Lane Kiffin, and we'll do our college football report card in just moments. You can call us. Andy Reid kind of downplaying the issues with the Chiefs. Is he right? Are they just a couple plays away here or there? Or are there real issues going on in Kansas City? Plus, our poll question for you. Are the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender or just getting fat off an easy schedule? It's Maggie Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. Maggie, I feel like we disagree on everything today because yeah. I'm not selling my Chiefs stock long term. You painted a picture where it's all coming to an end. Possibly. I know you're open for changes. But I feel like the Chiefs will figure it out. If not this year, they'll get healthy. Although there's a report that they might not have three starting linemen against Houston Texans pass rush on Sunday. That's bad. But they're at Arrowhead. You know from experience that until they're dead underneath that Arrowhead turf, you cannot count out the Chiefs, especially in that stadium.
Yeah, because the refs are going to help them out like they helped them out in the first half against the Colts.
Oh, come on. Take your Bills hat off.
I'm just calling it like it is.
Take your Bills hat off.
You know, the one thing, another thing that you and I don't agree on is we got a little bit into the last segment about how many coaching openings are going to happen in the NFL. We've gotten so caught up in the college football coaching cycle, we forgot all about the NFL.
Exactly.
We disagree on whether or not the Steelers would be a good opening. And I said, if let's say they move on from Mike Tomlin, which is probably a long shot, but I think it's a great job because you know you have a job for life. They don't fire coaches there. So you have two decades of stability,
that's
which
true.
Is ultimately what a coach wants. No?
Right, but your roster is not just old. It is ancient. I mean, your best players are all towards the end. You're going to have to start from scratch. It's just been so hard to get a quarterback there. I think that's partly Tomlin's fault because he won't hire a sort of real offensive coordinator. So look, Aaron Rodgers is what? You're not counting him part of this. How old is Cam Hayward? He's 37. And how old is TJ Watt? He's in his 30s. There's nothing to build around here. I would not want that job. I think you're in a tough division with a lot of good quarterbacks. That is not where I would go. Jalen Ramsey's at the end. Like, there's nothing to build around.
Yeah, but that's because this year they were going for it with Rodgers, right? They paid Cam Hayward. He held out. Remember that? They paid TJ Watt. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. I think if you...
I don't think that was all a function of Rodgers. That was a function of Watt. They had a choice. Are we going to keep TJ Watt or trade him? You wanted to trade him. I remember
that.
But they decided, you know what? He's the best player we have. We got to keep him. But it's not working.
No.
He's 31, too. So he's going to be gone. I don't know why anyone would want this job.
Well, he's not going to be gone now. His contract's too big.
How long do pass rushers play? I mean, yeah, I'm just saying, if you take this job, you're not going to get 5 good years of TJ Watt. I think it's a really, really hard job.
888-710-4ISN. Bogus is here with the latest and greatest headlines.
It's the Giants, so greatest is a stretch. Jackson Dart was back for Big Blue last night in Foxborough after missing 2 games, recovering from a concussion. He didn't do much more than usual to keep himself healthy.
Dart takes the shotgun, snap fakes the handoff, flushed out to his right, looking to throw. Now he's going to run it up to the 30, 35, to the sideline, and takes a big hit as he gets knocked out of bounds, and here comes the fight. Theo Johnson immediately went after Christian Ellis, who hit Dart high along the sideline.
Bob Papa on Giants Radio. Dart was still hittable along that sideline, so Christian Ellis hit him hard.
Look, I'm going to keep playing aggressive. No, hopefully everybody can take a second to watch my tape going back to high school and realize that this is not a shock. Like, I play the game aggressively.
Which is fine in high school against mostly non-NFL players. Dart was okay after this hit. His team wasn't okay before or after. 33-15 losers, dropping them to 0-3 since firing Brian Daboll. They have dropped 7 in a row overall, and their last 13 road games.
Catch the fever.
You want to know how the Giants are gutless? Because they watched their quarterback get absolutely destroyed. And all those guys in those blue coats on the sideline did nothing.
But
Theo Johnson came over. He was on the field. Like, he saw the hit. Those guys are right there. I'm like, that should have been immediate.
Wait, the staff members?
Everybody should have been over there.
Well, the staff members don't have helmets on.
Oh, I've seen staff members get into it with players who blow up your quarterback. The fact that those guys didn't care, the players on the sideline didn't move, it took Theo Johnson to come in from the field to actually start that fight, told me this team has no heart. I was shocked. There was like a 2-second pause where I was like, is nobody going to fight this guy? And finally, Theo Johnson comes to the top rope. I'm like, all right, here we go. But it's almost like the Giants, they were like a 5-step slow last night. How do you let your quarterback get blown up and there's not just a melee immediately?
I thought they did start a fight. I mean, they eventually, it didn't take that long. How long was it?
I thought the sideline was real slow.
Mm. Okay.
I thought the side, like guys on the field, yes, they're out there playing, so I guess they're more involved. But, I mean, I remember Al Shaheer, when he hit the Caleb Williams last year, the Bears staff, Bears players, I mean, I think they would have brought, you know, McCaskey down if they could have. They all were ready to fight that guy, and he was fighting them back. So it was a real fight. I just felt like this, it was too slow for me.
Mm.
I thought they were slow.
Oh, okay. Color me shocked. People on the Giants sideline not paying attention to the game.
I was going to say, Giants a step slow. That's been an issue for a couple seasons now.
The Patriots, meanwhile, on a 10-game winning streak, their longest in a decade. This victory, including 2 touchdown passes from Drake May and a 94-yard punt return touchdown from Marcus Jones. He now is the all-time career best punt return average guy at 14.6 yards per. He finally reached the 75 return threshold last night to make his number official.
It's funny, right before that return touchdown, I saw Jamie Gillen's number, and it's like 44 yards average per punt, and it's 27th in the NFL, and I thought, wow, that stinks. And then he kicks this booming punt, and I'm like, he finally got a good hold of it.
Whoops.
But he outkicked his coverage.
Yeah.
Giants
then
football.
He shanked one later. Right?
Oh, it's just...
the Patriots guy shanked one, actually. Yeah.
In like the 35-second window where the Giants maybe could have made that a game.
And then
Younghoe Koo kicked the field.
Yeah, and then he kicked the earth.
Yeah, he kicked the ball.
Tripped over flat ground.
I've never seen it. We're always surprised by a score of Gommies, Bogues. I know you're a big fan of that. You know, final scores that we've never seen before. I've seen guys whiff.
So,
whiff over the top.
Yeah, he said he did it last year as a Falcon.
I have a clip here where it's tagged, "This happened to me before" by Younghoe Koo.
Because the ball, I think the ball actually full on dropped out of the holder's hands in that game. So he stopped
but
his
this
kick.
One didn't do that.
This one, the ball was moving. I'm surprised that Aikman and Buck didn't mention it. They came back from the break afterwards with a replay, and the ball was on a diagonal.
Come
and
on,
Jamie
daddy.
Gillen fixes it. So that to me, right away, I was like, he thought the ball wasn't going to be there.
Wait, can I hear the soundbite? Younghoe Koo says this has happened to him before?
Unfortunately, I think it was last year or something. The ball slipped out and it actually, like, hit the ground. So there was the same visual, but Jamie did a good job of like catching it and putting it back. But at that point, it was just too late for me to drive through it.
Man, yeah. Apologies to the Falcons fans. I do not remember that. Younghoe Koo had a pretty terrible season last year.
The Vikings released veteran wideout Adam Thielen yesterday after he was a healthy scratch Sunday in Seattle after his agent asked for this release last week. Thielen posting on social media, this is his final season, and he's been hoping to play for a contender, which the Vikings are not. He caught only 8 passes after an August trade from Carolina.
How about him joining the New York Football Giants?
BYU, moving on, BYU's Kalani Sitake is apparently the focus now of Penn State's head coaching search. He has the Cougars in this week's Big 12 title game, but has no direct ties to Penn State. But he does love chocolate, and as we learned, State College is only 98 short miles from Hershey, Pennsylvania. So now this all makes total sense.
Wait, are you saying, does he really like chocolate? Or are you saying that because he's a bigger dude?
I'm saying it because we still need to learn Pennsylvania geography. This is about us, not about him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that could be seen as a dig.
No, you need to listen to hour one of this show to understand that here in hour three, that was not a dig at all about Sitake.
Well, you're asking the audience to do some heavy lifting.
I got it, because I thought Hershey was right next to State College. And in terms of Pennsylvania geography, it's not that far.
He goes to Harrisburg, too. We keep doing that.
By the way, EJ, are you and I the only ones who've been to Hershey Park?
I have been.
I actually have. That far.
And I've been to Penn State, and I knew it wasn't near Hershey.
I've been to both of those, too. Yeah.
Hershey Park's supposed to be amazing. I've never gone. I'm so mad.
I thought you went in high school.
No.
You went to Coney Island.
We went to Coney Island. We went to Six Flags, Camp Getaway, a bunch of other cool
things.
Can
I tell you, so the big thing about Hershey Park, if you've never been, it's definitely worth it. It's got a... You take the tour. They show you how they make all the chocolate and
Not
stuff.
Not familiar, yeah.
But what they do, sneaky. Mm. What they do is they actually pump out a chocolate smell.
Ooh, like buffalo with Cheerios.
Delicious, but chocolate. And it's 11 a.m. and like 4 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
And just try, like I dare you to avoid buying a Kit Kat bar or something when that smell is just wafting through the air.
Well, is Nestle and Hershey the same thing? Because I'm pretty sure Kit Kat is Nestle.
Whatever. I don't know who makes what.
They've also built crazy, which I'm glad I was there as a kid. They have the big roller coasters.
Yeah.
The kind you see on YouTube.
Oh.
I am not down with that at all. Mm-mm.
That's what I've been to. Yeah. And they're all the rise. Instead of like saying you need to be 4 feet or 5 feet, they assign height ranges candy. And then you look at the board and whatever candy's on the board says, okay, my kid's tall enough for these rides.
When I was a kid, they didn't have any of that. They just had do they still have the ride where you go through Chocolate World in the beginning?
Yeah, that's the tour.
Yeah. Oh, that's where
the beginning of Jurassic Park when they tell you how they make the dinosaurs, but it's chocolate.
But is that where the chocolate spray is?
The whole park where they do have the chocolate smell.
Yeah, but the factory tour is different than the amusement park.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's in the same grounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's also a very fancy hotel there over there.
Do they have green-haired little people working at this?
Little Oompa Loompas?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Be cooler if they did.
I should mention quickly this morning that the New York Mets proudly signing former Yankee and Brewers reliever Devin Williams for 3 years and $51 million. This apparently doesn't mean the Mets are not re-signing all-star closer Edwin Diaz. apparently means that Devin Williams wasn't as terrible last year as a Yankee as we all remember around here.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. Yeah. You better make sure that you sign Edwin Diaz because if that guy's your closer...
I think Edwin Diaz is going to be either a Dodger or a Blue Jay.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
why are you even putting this in the universe?
The trumpets are going to hit so hard at Yankee Stadium next summer.
He's not going to be a Yankee.
I don't think the Yankees are spending like that.
Neither do I, but a brother can dream. I don't have anything with the Giants.
They have to re-sign Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. Can't do that because of Mustache Boy.
Yeah.
Mustache Boy.
Trent Christian.
Trent Christian. Oh, right, because he accepted the qualifying offer and completely screwed you guys.
Wasn't supposed to do that.
$22 million. Great job, Brian Cashman. You genius.
Yeah, I'm sure Manny's regretting all those Trent Christian memes he kept sending.
No, I don't.
He was your favorite player.
He is.
I would love to have Trent Grisham.
Next year when he hits 160.
I would love to have Trent Grisham back, but at $22 million, good grief.
And I think Brian Cashman listened to this show and said, wow, that young Manny Rodriguez is onto something. I think I did a good job giving him that option.
So funny.
Yeah.
Anyway,
funny to you guys.
Hot stove, love it. 888-710-4ISN. Coming
Ryan
up next,
Helfley doing nowadays?
Pitching for the Orioles.
Signed for the Orioles. Yep. Coming up next, could we see a major change with one of the NFL's most exciting stars. That's next, MVP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Want to get to one of the best and brightest stars in the league, Pearl, and whether or not his frustration with his team could boil over, particularly this offseason. But first, Richie is in Queens, wants to react to the Giants' loss last night. Richie, this was an ugly one.
This is typical. You know what it is? You know, and people keep bringing up the fact that they were up 10 and lost the games. When you look back 2 or 3 years from now, you're not going to remember that. You're going to see another debacle. And last night was, and Dart's comments, and I understand my initial reaction was I jumped off the couch with that hit, but he put himself in harm's way. He's got to get out of a yard before that. It's second down, you know, live for a third down and two. You can't keep saying things like, you know, that's the way I play. I'm not going to change. Well, you better change because you're going to have some issues. Hey, guys, real quick, on the other side, you mentioned Hershey's, Mag.
Yeah.
It's funny because my whole family's going up there on Sunday, six of us, and the youngest is 64. So we're staying at that hotel you mentioned that was built in 33.
Yep.
It's Spanish provincial. It's stunning. We're going to take the candy tour. It makes you feel like, you know, that commercial with the wait ladies going down in the sled. You know, you just feel good, and it's a... It's a great Christmas place. So it's not just the rides, which are open, depending on the weather. They used to have carriage rides there. It's just a great, great place for anybody, especially kids.
Oh, but, I love it.
Yeah, get,
have
yeah,
a great
you really gotta
time.
Get up there.
That's going to be so
right.
Awesome. Enjoy it. Stay warm, obviously. I got a big snowstorm that's headed this way or happening right now in this area. But first of all, Manny, Kit Kats are a Hershey product.
Oh, delicious. They know what they're doing at Hershey.
And this hotel that Richie's talking about, it's just called the Hershey Hotel. It's beautiful. It's got this really fancy restaurant in it. And there was there's a boys' home that was there, like for kids who are underprivileged or maybe have fallen on hard times, things like that. And it's a really prestigious school. And I was lucky enough, when I was early in my career, there's a game called the Big 33. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's an all-star high school football game between all the best players from Pennsylvania and all the best players from Ohio. And they
awesome.
Do it, they have done it before at Hershey Park. There's like a stadium there. And the stat that's so amazing out of this high school all-star game, there has never been a Super Bowl played without at least one person who played in that Big 33.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. To this day.
To this day.
Wow.
It was exciting. It was the worst broadcast of my life.
Game.
It was, then you may have seen me on the sideline. It was one of the worst broadcasts of my life. So the game was great. The other broadcasters were fantastic. Yes, everyone was asking who's Maggie Gray. The play-by-play was Scott Graham, who does all the NFL narration. I forgot who was doing the color commentary that day. I've never had more disasters happen on live television to me at that time.
Did you forget your microphone?
No, but I probably should have just forgotten it.
Was that Rodney Harrison moment?
Worse. I was getting tripped up in my updates. Like, it was bad. And at one point, I had spent all this money. I was really young as a broadcaster. Like, this was like my third live event, I think, that I'd ever done. And I got this opportunity. And I spent all this money to get my hair done. Because I thought, you know, it's a big deal. It's going to be on Comcast Philadelphia. Hey. You know,
that is a big deal.
It was a huge deal for me.
For me,
I thought this was like my big break. And so I spent all this money to get my hair done. Little did I know, because no one told me, not their fault, my fault, that a helicopter was going to land on the field and touch down and then fly away. They cut to me after that helicopter landed, and it was like my hair had been in this tornado.
Oh, no.
It looked horrible. Everything about that broad, they never had me back. I totally understand why. I don't think I've ever seen Scott Graham to this day. I would be so embarrassed. It was just... people have these moments, live TV, and it was like one debacle after the next.
Oh, my God. I could just picture that helicopter landing, you sort of putting your notebook on your head to try and protect yourself.
I was so over at that point. Like, it was just it was hands down the worst broadcast. But in some ways, you want to be like, all right, well, I got that out of the way. Could never be any worse.
Do you remember any of the talent?
Yeah, I'd have to go back to the rosters, but obviously there was NFL guys there. The star that we're talking about, who could be looking for a new address this offseason, might be Justin Jefferson. And the frustrations are obvious. The Vikings had to see what they had in J.J. McCarthy.
Sure.
The answer is, well,
not much.
Yeah, I was going to say not much, or maybe we don't know yet, but the early returns aren't good. Not just because he hasn't been effective, but also because he hasn't been healthy.
Right.
And whether it was a phantom high ankle sprain or whatever that caused him to miss all this time, like, he's not available. And when he's in there, he's not good. Did you see the stat? They brought it out for Max Brosmer, who was his backup the other day, but it applies to McCarthy too, that if they had just spiked the ball on every single play, they would have had a higher quarterback rating than what those two guys turned in their last two games. Yeah. Think about that. So if I'm Justin Jefferson, Pearl, I don't know if he would want to make things messy, but if the Vikings are not going to commit to either finding another quarterback or if he's not convinced that J.J. McCarthy can really get it fast enough, couldn't you see him asking for a trade?
You know, yes, of course, logically, but he seems like such a nice guy, and Kevin O'Connell's such a nice guy coach. I don't feel like personality-wise, this feels like a potential off-season trade drama. Just based on the limit. I mean, obviously, I don't know Justin Jefferson. I know him from the Netflix show. I know we met him a couple times at the Super Bowl. And I just see the way... I know he's frustrated this year, but he doesn't seem like a T.O. type who's really going to make a ton of noise. I definitely could be wrong about this, but I don't see this being the drama that you might expect from some other wide receivers.
Well, maybe it's not so much drama. Maybe it's him just going to the team and saying, listen, if you're going to run it back with J.J. McCarthy, like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, he's on a Hall of Fame track. I said this about Devontae Adams. You know, Devontae Adams might get himself back into the Hall of Fame, depending how this Rams stint goes, but Adams was on this Hall of Fame track, and then it got completely derailed with the Raiders and then the Jets, and now it's stabilized. But, like, if you're Justin Jefferson, if you're trying to make it to the Hall, you're trying to win a Super Bowl, whatever, like, this is a major hiccup if the organization is saying, we're going to go with McCarthy, J.J.
Yeah,
McCarthy.
Well, that, you know what? Let's be realistic, though. You don't think that they're going to have a B option for J.J. McCarthy, kind of like Indianapolis did by bringing Daniel Jones.
But they did. It was Carson Wentz, but he got hurt.
No. Carson Wentz, they signed in August, a real B option, like a plan. Like, I know the contract is all wonky, but Kirk Cousins or Mac Jones or a Kevin O'Connell quarterback. I mean, Kirk Cousins has already proven he can give Justin Jefferson all the yards he wants. So there's got to be...
So you're giving up on J.J.?
I'm doing a Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson. Yeah. If JJ wants out, then I give up on him.
Coming up next, Lane Kiffin's contract.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.